Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again just to reach the world for Christ. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood in Madisonville, Tennessee. So, reaching the world for Christ. So, we're glad that you've called in and be a part of this. And if you want to call in and be a part of this, we'll call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. So call in and be a part of this radio broadcast with us today. And so God will bless you for it. So I don't know which one called in first here. I couldn't see, but I've got 937. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. It's Evangelist Joanna Green and Evangelist Clint Green and little Rachel here from Springboro, Ohio.
Okay, we appreciate you. I'm glad you called in there. So let me get this other one in here. Praise the Lord. 706, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Freda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord there. Sister, glad you called in there. So, anybody else want to call in and be a part of this service? Well, call in on 310-742-1759. We'll put you right on the line there with us just to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So our subject today is taking it by force. You know, I'll tell you what, we've got to take some things and by force, and we've got to stand up and put the devil in his place. So if we do that, then we'll be able to go somewheres and do something. So praise the Lord. So I don't know, like I said, I couldn't see which one of you called in first, so whichever one of you want to go first, why, just go ahead.
Brother, you would let Sister Freda go.
No, y'all go first. Y'all go first. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
I knew you was going to do that, but no, I want to hear what you got to say first.
Well, that's because we've got Brother Green and myself and Rachel. It might be another hour.
Oh, that's okay.
Praise God. Appreciate that, sis. She's doing like the Bible says, preferring her brother and her sister, and we appreciate Sister Freda and appreciate the broadcast, and thank you, Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood, for allowing us to be on here with you and telling us about Blog Talk Radio. And we've got, I tell you, it's a good message tonight, taking it by force. And we've got Rachel here that she's got a scripture she wants to read. Praise the Lord.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Praise God. She's 10 years old, and, you know, she texted me a message the other day. I think it was yesterday. We was up there or down there in Tennessee at your house, Brother Yearwood. I don't know if I shared this with you, but she just out of the blue, scriptures pop up in her head, and we've taken her to church so much, and I'm boasting on God right now. And she said, she says, it says in the Bible that all liars have their part in the lake of fire. And I thought, yeah. I said, that's right. And she said it just had come to her. And we were at the Golden Corral. We were at Cracker Barrel. And one day she was talking about a piece of a bracelet. It was real cute. She said it would look good with her outfit. And I said, no, we don't deck ourselves in silver and gold. I was playing with her. And she said, silver and gold have I none. And I thought, the scriptures, you know, if you put this in the child, train a child in the way they'll go. When they grow old, they won't depart from it. And how when we study to show ourselves approved, how scriptures, God speaks to us. When we read these scriptures, we think, wow, we'll never remember all of this. But in time of need, it comes to us. And I just thank God for Lord Rachel, and praise the Lord. So I'm going to let Brother Green go ahead and go first. Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's good to be with you, and I understand that message is the scripture there that Rachel read in Matthew chapter, I believe it's 11. Let me look here and see. And it's in chapter 11. And I want to back up here, just read a little bit. In verse 7, it says here in Matthew 11, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" So he was asking questions here. He was asking, why did the multitudes, or he was talking to the multitude, and he said, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see?" You know, many people came out to see John because John was preaching, and nobody had ever come and preached like John preached. And he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness to get the people to prepare their way for the Lord to come, and to make their path straight and to quit their sinning. And he preached repentance. And Jesus asked him, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?" He was asking them these questions. And, you know, this man was preaching, but he wasn't wearing a bunch of wearing soft clothing. And he was not wearing that kind of garment, but he had... He was kind of a rough man, you might say, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And he said, "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. See, there had not been a man come on the scene greater than John the Baptist. There was many prophets and But this prophet was coming to prepare the way of the Lord, and he was the last prophet that was to prophesy under the old order. You know, we have prophets today, but not like they had in the Old Testament. They were different types of prophets, but they preached the Word of God. They prophesied the coming of Christ, and they was making these things known. And John began to preach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And he began to tell them what to do. He that hath two coats, he said, impart to him that hath none. And different things he was telling them. And he was telling the soldiers to do violence to no man. And he was teaching them, you know, sometimes people get an authority and they begin to take that authority and it begins to... go to their head, so to speak. You put a badge and a gun in somebody's hand and put a badge on them, and sometimes they don't know how to handle it. You know, first thing you know, they've shot somebody or they've clubbed them over the head with a billy club or something when they really shouldn't have. But you see, power goes to some people's head, but as Christians today, we need to be humble, praise God. And John was a humble man, but he was a stern man. And he had a message to declare. And he was the voice of crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way for the Lord. He said, there's coming one after me, mightier than I. But he was preaching The kingdom of heaven. And let's go a little further here. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So, praise God. We're somebody today. We may not preach like John. We may not prophesy like Peter and Paul or whatever, but we're somebody today. If we're a Christian and we're in the body of Christ and we have been born again, and then verse 12 is the verse that Rachel read and what is being preached on tonight. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When we look over, in Matthew chapter 17, I believe that's the chapter where they went up on the mountain, Peter, James, and John, and went in up on that mountain with Jesus, and he was changed right before them, and the Father from heaven spoke unto him, and there was John, or not John, but there was Elijah, which also is Elias, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. You know, John was a great prophet, and it was prophesied there, I believe, in the book of Luke, and maybe about the first or second chapter, how that Zacharias went into the temple and saw the angel of God, and the angel said, your wife's going to have a son. They're going to call his name John. Praise God. And so you know that, how that he could not speak until John was born, and John had a ministry, and he preached for about 6 months, I believe it was, before Jesus came there to the River Jordan, and John baptized him there in the River of Jordan, and the dove came down upon him, and there in Matthew 17, his raiment was changed, and he became as his garments became as white as snow, and the cloud overshadowed him, and a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Praise God. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And Jesus began to tell them in the verse 9 of chapter 17, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? John fulfilled that scripture because Jesus answered in the 11th verse that Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. So he said the kingdom of God suffereth violence. You know, since men have been preaching the gospel, I can tell you today that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is suffering violence. I can tell you today that in many countries and parts of the world where they preach the gospel, I can tell you that there's some of them losing their heads, and they're being tortured, and some of them are being cast into prison. So I can see today that the kingdom is suffering violence. And I can see today that there's a warfare going on. And I can see today we need the whole armor of God if we're going to be able to stand in these last days, because we know that evil men are waxing worse and worse. And we know that the darkness is coming upon the land. And we know that there's an enemy, Antichrist, and the Antichrist spirit is in the world. And even as it was in John's day and Paul's day, Paul said there's going to be a great falling away before Christ comes again, praise God, and takes the church out of here. And I tell you, friend, today we're going to have to fight the good fight. We're going to have to stand in the gap. And like Brother Yearwood said, we're going to have to face the devil. We're not going to run when the battle gets hot. We're going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord, because there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back. And even though the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence today in many parts of the world, and even in the United States of America, it seems like that there's a battle going on between, a thing about the government and the church. Praise God that it's not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And the Bible tells us today that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise Amen. God. And I want to read a little more here. And I want you to know that Jesus said John came and it did what they wanted to with him. You see, they took John, they took John, throwed him in prison, and later they cut off John's head. And he said they took Elias, that's what he was telling them there. They took him and they did what they would with him, praise God. And he was telling them that they're not going to like you either. And they're going to do some things to me, praise God. I'm going to suffer likewise at their hands. I'll tell you, it's not just the false religions today that's against the church, but sometimes the church is fighting the church. And I'll tell you, the true church will always be persecuted, and the true church will always be hated, praise God, because Amen. If you stand for what is right, they're not going to like you. He said, if the world hated me, he said, they're going to hate you also. And he said the world would love his own. I see today in many parts of the church system, I see today there is no separation today from the church and the world. There's very little separation. Praise God. You go into the house of God, and some places they look like sun worshipers with their little skimpy outfits on, and they say that's all right. But I'll tell you today, my friend, it's not all right, because the Bible tells us that we have to dress modestly. We cannot be flaunting ourselves around and putting on some kind of a show to impress somebody. If we got actors in the pulpit today, praise God, and they're falling after, some of them's are falling after Hollywood, and I'm preaching on the kingdom of heaven is a suffering violence. What do you think the Lord's Amen. Thinking about it? I wonder today when he looks down over the balconies of glory and he looks into the situation, and he's just waiting for the Father to say, go back and get my bride. Go back and yes, take Amen. My church. There's going to be a church. Come out of a church. Praise God. There's right. going to be, in the last days, there's going to be a church. And the Bible calls her a harlot there in Revelation chapter 17, full of abominations. And those kind of things. And I need to get off of that a little bit here. Praise God. I'm going to let Joanna jump in. I'm not done, but I might get back on here a little bit later. There's going to be a church come out of a church. Just because people's in the church today, and just because they say, Lord, Lord, that does not mean that everything's all right with God. I'm not trying to be hard, but I don't want nobody to miss it. I wouldn't want to miss it, would you? I wouldn't want to get real close and not make it in. But I want to make it in. I want to have truly have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they killed John, cut off his head. They're doing that today to many people, and they're persecuting them. And the Bible said all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you stand for what is right and you stand for the truth of the gospel, there's surely going to come a day when you're going to be persecuted. Praise God. And I'm going to let her say something here, and I've got some more if Brother Lloyd, if you need me to come back on, I got some more here later.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. We've got several prayer requests here. Brother Tim Hall says, remember me and Frida, that's his wife. His sister, Elizabeth Ivren, says Elizabeth Ivren has an unspoken request. Sister Danielle Rogers said an unspoken request. Becky Fritz says, please remember me. I'm in extreme pain, and also my daughter. Sister Maria Sinner says, remember me and my husband and children. Jacqueline Grigsby says, yes, we need relief from what's going on in our house. Rick Koger says, me, like always. He wants us to pray for him. Jacqueline Grigsby's husband, Johnny Grigsby, says, yes, me and my family, pray for them because they're trying to move. They want a different location. They need God to move in their situation. Sherry Wills says, healing. She needs a healing. So, Sister Billy Neal says that we have a lady at our church that is fighting for her life. The doctors have given her up. Her name is Amy. She's 42 years old, has two kids. She really needs a miracle from God. And also Sister Patty Little says, please remember all of my family and friends. Praise the Lord. So Brother Yearwood, I don't know at this point in the service what you'd like to do, but if you need me to go now, or do you want me to go later on? That's up to you, brother.
Okay, well, let me get, I believe Sister Gladys, let me get her in there and see, then we'll let you go there then.
Amen, Sister, okay.
Is that you at 661?
Yes, sir, that sure is. I'm Gladys from Morehead, Kentucky.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay, we'll get you in there in a few minutes there, then we'll let Sister Green go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Praise God. We need prayer. Our home situation, our children are buying a house, and they have three kids, and they're from the ages 1, 2, and 3, so they're just little toddlers.
Ooh.
If you hear crying in the background, if you hear walls a-thumping and floors a-banging, you know where it's
we
coming.
We have that all the time.
So, I appreciate them. I love them and thank God for them, and I'm happy for them getting their own home. Praise the Lord. They were approved today. They were notified that they'll be closing here in a couple days and that everything is looking really good. So they were really fully approved and a go-ahead on their loan. So we praise God for another prayer answered. That's a praise report.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was thinking here of being the subject, taking it by force. In 2 Kings chapter 5, I kind of just want to get a foundation here before I get into the other part of it. And so 2 Kings chapter 5 talks about Naaman being the captain of the host of the kings of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And you all know the story about how Naaman was supposed to go and dip 7 times, and he was healed of the leprosy. Well, going down on to, scrolling down here in my notes, praise the Lord, in verse 20, let's talk about, so we know about Naaman. We've heard the story about Naaman. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, and behold, my master hath spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, all is well. And he said, all is well, my master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now thee be come to me from Mount Ephraim, two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give me, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. Now before all this, Elijah said not to take anything, praise the Lord, from them. Now Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came into the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the man go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elijah said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thou servant went no whither. Gehazi was saying, I didn't go anywhere. He lied. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. So I wanted to get that there established and tell you that part before I go on to the next part. I heard Brother Tim Hall preach on this one time, and I never, ever heard it preached like this. And I thought it was wonderful, and I hope it helps you. And if you'll go on over, so now we know that Gehazi has leprosy, the leprosy that Naaman had, now Gehazi has, and it's unto death. He was being, because he had lied to Elijah and said that he didn't go anywhere. And Elijah had told him not to go and to take any money, and no silver, nothing, take nothing. And Gehazi did the opposite. And then he lied about taking it. So 2 Kings chapter 7, then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. He's talking to the people. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. So here was a man doubting that God was going to do these things that Elijah had just told him that God was going to do. How many people know people like that out there? How many people that we know question the Lord and what he's going to do? Praise the Lord. We need to take it by force, like God said in his word. And then verse 3 said, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Samaritans. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. Praise the Lord. So I think I'm saying the word wrong. Syrians, not Syria, but Syrians. Praise God. So therefore the lepers, they could just, it was not forbidden for the lepers to go into the city because they had leprosy. They were considered unclean, and they were to be outside of the city. And then when the city would throw out their, the people of the city would throw out their trash, that's what the lepers would gather together and eat. But now there's a famine in the city, and there's no food for them to gather, for them to eat. So everyone at this point is starving. So they're Syrians. They are in a camp nearby, and the lepers are saying, should we go ahead and take it, or should we go ahead and just sit here? Why must we sit here until we die? It says, so they decided to get up, and it says in verse 5, it says, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and they, when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Praise God. So they were going to take it by force. Praise God. They said, we're going to either go in this place and we're either going to live or we're going to die. Praise God. And how many know today that if you're going to make a choice, you know, you're going to make the choice today whether you're going to serve God or whether you're not going to serve God. But let me tell you something. There's an eternity out there. Eternity is when you leave this body and your soul is going to go somewhere. It's either you're going to make a choice now while your soul is in your body, that whether you're going to serve God Almighty, the living God, going through Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, the only begotten Son, praise the Lord, and receive what he has done for you on Calvary, or you're not going to choose at all. And you know, you say, well, I'm not going to choose at all. I'm not going to serve the devil either, but I'm not going to serve God. When you choose not to serve God, you automatically choose to serve the devil.
Amen.
And so you're going to spend eternity somewhere. If you don't make it through tonight, if you don't wake up in the morning, you're going to go somewhere. So these four lepers, they said, we're going to die anyway. We might as well go trying. We might as well die trying to save our lives. We might as well go trying because if we would just sit here, you never know what happened. We'll die like this, starving to death. We go into the city, we'll starve to death. There's no food there. There's a famine. So we must go in. They chose to go into the Syrians that way, into Syria, and to go into the camp and to take, I know the Bible says not to take a chance, but, you know, they went with faith believing that possibly we're going to come out of this, praise the Lord. But if we die, praise God. And if you die, ask yourself that question, where am I going to spend eternity? You're going to die anyway. It's appointed to man to die, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So choose ye life. The Lord tells us to choose life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. For Jesus Christ, he himself is the door. Praise the Lord. So they went in at the twilight. That means the day was just getting right about evening. And they left their tents and their horses and their donkeys and even the camp as it was and fled for their life. So here the Syrians thought that this big host of Hittites and Egyptians were coming after them. Praise God. But God allowed a noise that sounded like chariots to rise up, and it sounded like a great mighty army was coming after him when it was only four lepers. Praise the Lord. That's a miracle right there in itself. In verse 8, and when these lepers came into the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the king, a city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and donkeys. The Bible says another word, and I don't like to say it, but it's the word. I'm not trying to change it at all. But it's in 2 Kings chapter 7, praise the Lord, if you would like to read it, in the King James Version Bible, in the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. So the king is doubting here, praise the Lord. But we find out later that the king goes ahead and he has the men to go in. He finds out of chapter 14, and they took therefore two chariots of horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go. and sea, and they went after them into Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which Assyrians had cast away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now we know that Elijah had spoke this in the beginning of this chapter, and there was a man there who had doubted. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. And that's the one that had doubted. And the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him? And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, now, behold, if the Lord should make a window in heaven, might such a thing be? He had a question. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Now, if you remember, in chapter 5 of this 2 Kings, I was telling you about Gehazi, how the leprosy came on him because he had lied to Elijah, and how the four lepers in chapter 7, in chapter 6 talks about a man had borrowed an axe, and the axe had fell off into the water, and then the prophet had spoke to the axe head, and the axe head began to float because God cared that this person that had borrowed this axe head, that he would be able to return it back to the one he borrowed it from. So now in 2 Kings chapter 8, and now remember, it was forbidden for a man with leprosy to go back into the city, for he had leprosy, he was considered unclean. So then in chapter 8, it talks about, let me just read it to you here a moment. 2 Kings chapter 8, then spake Elijah unto the woman whose son had been restored to life, saying, arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn whatsoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7th year's end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and her land. So she was asking for her land back. And the king talked with Gehazi. Now look at that, folks. Gehazi was the one that had leprosy. Praise the Lord. Unto death, because he had lied to Elijah. I don't know, and I heard Brother Tim Hall say this, never heard nobody else say this before, but looking at the word here, at the word of God in the King James Version, Gehazi having leprosy until death, I don't know if he was one of the four lepers. The Bible don't say who the four lepers were. But Gehazi, now you find him talking to the king. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elijah hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life. He was an eyewitness, Gehazi was. I believe if those four lepers would have sat there, whether Gehazi was one of those four lepers or not, those four lepers, they decided that they were going to take it by force. We're going to go in, or else we're going to sit here. We're going to die anyway. We're going to sit here and die. We'll go into the city. There's a famine. We're going to die. But if we go into Samaria, we're going to die anyway. So we either live or we're either going to die. And that's what I'm telling you tonight, that, you know, whatever's coming upon this land, whether the government's bringing it upon or whether the man of perdition's bringing it on, I believe he's alive today. I don't know how a lot of you think, but I believe that the man of perdition's just not in power yet. But one of these days he's going to be in power. And I say we're going to die anyway. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to go taking it by force? Are you going to just sit here and just let whatever gets dumped on you? And you know, one day there's going to be a famine, and I believe that famine is a famine of the Word of God. They're taking this King James Bible, and they're taking it, and they're doing exactly what they did to the body of Christ. They're taking it. It says in the Bible that his body was marred, his vesture was marred more than any man ever known. And I believe that's what they're doing today with the Word. You see, the Word is Jesus. Praise God. And they're doing it again. They're plucking his beard afresh. They're taking out, they're plucking out this word and plucking out that word, and they're trying to throw in the bitter water. They tried to give Jesus a cup of vinegar, of bitter water, and you know, praise God. And that's what they're doing today. They don't know that they brought in this silly thing called Common Core into the children, trying to teach them that anything goes, basically. If they come up with an answer to something, and then they can tell you how they got the answer, then it's right. There's no wrong in Common Core, and it doesn't make any sense. And they're trying to get the kids to depend on the government and to depend on the society, on the teachers, and they won't let the moms and the dads and the schoolhouse no more correct the children. Basically, the children are acting like wild animals, if you will. They're putting them on all this medicine, and they're making the zombies out of them. They're making little monsters out of them. But they say, don't you dare touch them. And you know, just a little old-fashioned woodshed is what I say. I used to tell mine, go on out there. You know, Dad said, go get your switch. You better go get your switch. And he would. He'd send them out there. And we had an old willow tree in the backyard, and that willow tree almost, it hung so low that it just about touched the ground, its leaves. And Clint would say, you go out there and you get you a switch. And they'd come back in with their switch. I remember this. And this thing would, sometimes the switch would be on top of the refrigerator. And you know, it got to a point where we didn't have to swat them with the switch no more in the leg. We just shook it at them. And they'd sit down and they'd behave. And that's what's wrong with the kids nowadays. And one of these days, them kids are going to grow up and be adults. We better take this thing by force, and we better go the Bible way, and we better not be listening to what this, what the giving the king's meat. I believe it was Daniel said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we're going to eat. Praise the Lord of the type of food that we eat back over in Jerusalem, and we're not going to eat of the king's meat. And he asked the governor, I believe it was, or the counselor, whatever he was, if they can do that for I think it was it 21 days or 3 weeks or something like that, and maybe 10 days, Clint said, and I haven't read it in a while, but so 10 days they went with eating their own beans, I believe it was, and things, but it wasn't of the wine on the king's table. It wasn't this garbage that the government was trying to feed them, of the king's government is what I'm talking about. And they were more stronger. They were found more strong than those of the, was it the Medes and the Persians, or was it Babylonian? Praise God. And, you know, at one point the Medes and Persians came in and they did take over. And, you know, I just love the Lord. This is a great subject tonight. And I believe we got to take it by force. Take it for what the Bible says. Let's just take it for that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God said we can come to his throne boldly. Hallelujah. That don't mean going and throwing yourself on the floor and throwing a temper tantrum and beating your fist on the floor and saying, God, you said you were going to do this, and you said you were going to. We better come peaceably before God, that we could come boldly and we can go through these principalities of this air, of all wickedness and high places, that we could go and press through that. It's a pressing way. That's what coming. That's what taking it by force means, is pressing your way through the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood did. She pressed her way. She went boldly. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. If we just hold on to this word of God, this two-edged sword is sharper than a two-edged sword. We just hold on to this. Praise God and press on through it. John, I believe it was David, had a man in his army, and his hand clave to his sword. Praise God. Let your hand clave to the word of God, and you cleave to it. Hallelujah. And you don't let go. Praise God. Yep. Choose today who you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve God, you can't serve God and mammon too. You got to choose one or the other. You can't have two masters. You either love one or you're going to hate the other. Praise God. Serve the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's my word to you tonight. Serve the living God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You,
serve the living word. Jesus Christ came. The word became flesh. He came to his own. His own received him not. Praise the Lord. Are you going to be one that not receive him? I receive him. Praise the Lord. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I love him. I want to keep his commandments. It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God. He said that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. When we fear God, when we say we fear him, praise the Lord, we love him. We care, just like we care about our parents, whether we're going to offend him or not. And we care about his body. Who is his body? The children of God, the Christians. That's who we care about. We care for one another.
Yes.
It says to bear you one another's burdens. Praise God.
Yes.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your body, with all your soul, your might, your spirit. Love him. And then love your neighbor. Praise the Lord as yourself. God is good. Clinton was talking on the way home from Tennessee, and he was saying, you know, this is like a coin. There's two sides to a coin. You've got, there's the head and there's the tails of a coin. God is a God of love. But there's another side to God as a God of wrath. Praise the Lord. But they want to keep it on the God of love all the time. But turn that over and let's see. There's a God of wrath, and it's the same God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Think about that. They said, oh, but God loves us. He wouldn't send us to a devil's hell. Well, you know what? If you don't choose him and you don't serve him, he will. He sure will, because the Bible says to fear him that destroyeth the body and the soul, but not to fear the one that can just destroy the body. Because it's up to God where you go, whether he's going to judge whether you go to heaven or you go down where the devil was created for. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord, and I'm just going to turn it back to Brother Yearwood, and if he needs us anymore, Brother Green's got plenty more to say. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Appreciate the wonderful word there. So we'll get Tim to sing a song here, then we'll get Sister Free to come in there and obey the Lord.
Okay.
Praise
Thank
the
you.
Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God.
One night while on life's raging feet, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As blackness of night turned off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cries rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope inside. When faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm, 'cause I met the one who came looking for me. Old Satan had already picked out my grace.
His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care? They'd I'd soon be lost. I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared, said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe with no harm, for he walked through the storm. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from my harm, 'cause I met someone who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul, and it calmed all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm, since I met the one who came looking for me. I'm safe from all harm, the sound of the one who came looking for me. It's funny how we do it, compartmentalize. We plan for success and try to pass the pain right by. But it just doesn't work that way. God has a different plan. He works in ways we'd never see beyond the scope of man. When the journey takes a detour unexpectedly, and I try to accept and understand what it all means, when I'm pressed to show the world what I really believe, I will trust you, Lord. When my heart begins to faint because I see a life so great, and my soul cries out, oh Lord, how long can I keep this at bay? In the fiercest part of battle, when my feet don't want to stay, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, with my life. I may not understand it or even question why. What good could ever come from this has even crossed my mind. But God's teaching me to trust Him more as He works His will in me. I rest securely in His care, and the surrender sure is sweet. When the journey takes a detour unexpectedly, and I try to accept and understand what it all means, when I'm pressed to show the world what I really believe, I will trust you, Lord. When my heart begins to faint because I see a life so great,
And my soul cries out, oh Lord, how long can I keep this at bay? In the fiercest part of battle, when my feet don't want to stay, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, with my life.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Appreciate the wonderful songs there. Sister Frieda?
Amen.
Yes.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Well, I want to do some praise reports and some prayer requests, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Lord blessed me yesterday, and I thank the Lord that he's working on doing things, and I got was able to pay some bills off yet today. Let's remember Sister Debbie. She's already in Macon, and she's having problems with chest pains in the heart, so they got her down at Macon Medical. I've got Rosa Hasten I requested prayer for. She's still doing better, but she's still in the hospital. They done put her in a room. And then I had one of my cousins' daughter had a baby. They took her baby this past Wednesday. They was able to go home. But the baby, they think he might have a heart murmur, but I do not believe that. I deny the baby is fine, and he's going to be doing good. So but just let's remember them in prayer. And I got Robin Gresham said to remember her. And I got some friends at the church, at people that goes to the church. Her name is Megan. Let's remember her in prayer. Okay?
Amen.
Okay. And I'm going to be reading. This is what the Lord bared on me today. I was looking through my scriptures and things. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew 21, and I'm going to go 1 through 16. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey and a colt, the foal of an eight colt. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and
Amen.
Said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? You know, we have to overthrow the devil and the evil that tries to come to us. All we have to do, and we've been having some wonderful services, and the Lord says you got to be bold. You got to take a firm stand. And you know, I like talking to people. I like praying for people, but you know, I haven't been praying totally like he wanted me to. My aunt called me yesterday, and she was telling me about this baby. And I said, hold on a minute. I'm being bold. I said, Lord, we're going to pray. She said, okay. So I let the Lord, I'm glad the Lord is using me, Brother and Sister Ewan, Brother and Sister Green. He is telling me what to say. And, you know, my aunt says, I appreciate that. She said, I need that. I said, I know you did. We've got to step on that devil's head and say, get under our feet, get out of our lives, and leave us alone. We are God's children. We are not none of yours. We are the Lord's, and I thank the good Lord that he is using me to do what he wants me to, and I thank him, and I praise him for what he's doing and what he's going to do. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Praise God. So I tell you, God will use us if we'll just let him. You know, there's a lot of times I know I've been guilty of it in time myself. God speak to me, tell me go and pray for somebody or go and do something, and I sit back. Then next thing I know, God done called on somebody else, and they're doing exactly what I was supposed to do, and they get the blessing, and I get a whipping. So I don't like that. Praise the Lord. Sister Gladys, you ready to go ahead and obey the Lord?
Yeah, it's been good listening to everybody. Sister Green, you could have went right on, or Sister Frieda, any of you. God's a good God, and I praise him. And like I found Sister Green, I had this on my heart about taking it by force, and then I was listening to a message of someone speaking about it. And sometimes in our life, we've got to take authority and stand firm on the Word of God and say, devil, you're not going to keep running over me. You're not going to keep treading over my children, and you're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that, because God said all I have to do is stand firm on his word, and he'll take it from there. If I speak to the mountain, he'll make it move, and I glorify him tonight, and he's a good God. He woke me up this morning, Brother Yearwood. He didn't have to, but he did, and I praise him for that. He just takes good care of me, and I thank everybody for all their prayers for me, because I've been feeling better, and God just takes good care of me. And you know, my witness and my testimony isn't all about my health. You know, those are just stepping stones, and I want people to know that yes, you can be one place and one day, and God can raise you up to better things. And even though you have opposition in this life, God will take you forward. You just sometimes have to stand still and let God be God. And I wanted to give a few prayer requests before I get started. There's a Damascus house, like I mentioned before, that's a home for, it's a refuge for people that have addictions. And I thank God for that, because in this world and day and hour, Satan's using that tool of drugs, and he's taking these children out left and right, not to give him any glory. My God's a big enough God to help those children get clean and get focused on the Word of God. I want to put in a request for Laura McKnight. She's got a loan. They've approved it, but for some reason they just haven't put it through. And I pray that you guys will join me in prayer that all of her tests for her cancer will be completely cancer-free. And a brother in the church, John Loveless, bless his heart, he came to church, and I see him dozing, and my heart goes out to him. And he's curious. Sometimes when you show people you care, they look at you and they say, well, I've got the most encouragement from you. And they question it, and he's questioning. I know he'd like to say, well, why do you care? And I told him, I said, I care. Because sometimes our bodies does things that we can't control. And when it gets to that point, we have to turn it over to the Lord. And that's why I told that brother, I said, I care about you. And I know that even though you're going through this trial, God's going to bring you through. And so remember John Loveless, remember my children, God's move so that my son and my daughter-in-law can move out. I want to remember Greg's son's sister. I'm not good with names, but she was diagnosed with osteoarthritis, and I'd like for you to remember her, a man named Robert Dougherty, my husband Tim. He's a hard worker. And I know God's going to place him in a position with the church. Even if there isn't a position, God will make one. He wants to work full-time for the Lord, and I want to do that also. And you can't do that and work a full-time job out in the world. My Uncle Gary has cancer. Lady named Dana has cancer. And my cousin Robin. And I have an unspoken request. Sometimes there's things that come up in our homes that just you need God to move on them, and you need wisdom to know how to do it. And I want to hand that request over to God. I'm going to get started with First Samuel 31 through 7. And I have a little bit of reading, but I'll try not to take too much time.
It's says, all Lord, sister. Just obey
it
God.
It is. It really is. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, then the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. In verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and people and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power, more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. You know, sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. No matter what's going on around us, we've got to go to the Lord and speak to our spirit and say, we will rise above this and speak
Amen.
Those things to in existence. And that's what I was trying to tell Brother, Sister Betty one day. We have to speak over our children what we want them to become. And you'll hear it until he is standing in the pulpit. You may get tired of hearing it on the broadcast, but my son will preach the word of God. He will rise
Amen.
Above the things that he struggles with. And sometimes our children struggle with generational curses, and we need to crush, smash, and destroy all generational curses that have been crossed through the bloodline. But once we join the bloodline of Christ, those generational curses are broken. But when the devil wants to work with them and tease them and say, you can be tempted by this, we have to take our authority in the name of Jesus and say, you will not. And we have to sometimes tell these demons that come our way that want to taunt our family members that Jesus rebukes them. Jesus used the word about in the wilderness on Satan, and that's what we have to do. We have to take the word and take the authority of the word of God and tell Satan the way the word of God speaks. And I praise him that we have the word. In 1 Samuel 38, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. He's telling him, you will recover all. And I believe in my spirit tonight that no matter what Satan has taken from any of our families and any of our households, we're going to recover all. That's what the Bible did for David, and God doesn't have respect to person. He's going to make the devil pay because of all the things that he's taken and held against us. And someday, like Sister Green says, we'll be looking at Satan and saying, just little old you did all that? Because God will make us rise above all the things that we deal with. In 1 Samuel 30, 18 through 19, it says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them. I love that part. Nothing lacking.
Amen.
And there's coming a day very, very soon. We've walked through the mire and the clay, and like I said at one time, and I know people are shocked that when we came down here, we left big, fine churches in Dayton, Ohio, and we entered into a chicken coop. That's what God allowed us to be in, but we learned lessons in that chicken coop. God will take you from down below. He said he'll take the, how did he refer to that? He said he'll make you the head and not the tail. You know, the devil wants to
Man.
Make us feel like we're the tail, but we're not. We're the head and not the tail. He's the tail. And he said that in verse 19, he said, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. When Pharaoh held back the people and he wouldn't let them go, he wanted them to leave all their stock and all their cattle and all that and their jewels and their fine garments behind. But they said, no, we won't do that. And as God takes you higher in this thing, new levels, new devils. And I know that we have to put on the whole armor of God to go forward in this. And I praise God that we do have an armor, and the Word of God is our shield and protector. In Exodus 13:14-15, that's what I was referring to, as Pharaoh wanted to hold the people back. He said, and it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. In Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, I praise God that we can still to this day go through our homes, open the windows and open the doors. You know, you can't just let anything and everything come into your household, because the enemy will leave things behind if you aren't careful. But I praise God that we can put blood over the blood post, you know, our doorpost, in a spiritual way. You know, I'm not saying put real blood on those doorposts, but I know when I anoint my house, I put a cross above the door and a cross on each side, and I let the devil know, you have no authority here. You've got to leave. You got to take your minions and everything else that you thought that you could bring into your deposits, and you've got to leave. Open the door, open the windows, and cast them out, and tell them, in the name of Jesus, he rebukes you, and God will make them go. You know, sometimes the devil will try to bring spirits of anxiety. God said that we don't need to be anxious. We can sleep at night. We can sleep like babies. He said, those whose minds are stayed upon him, he will give us perfect peace. You know, you're not going to find perfect peace, and that's what this Lord, the world is looking for. When they backslide on God, they want to fill it up with drugs, and they want to fill it up with booze. But the God I serve, I know, has not left the throne. All I have to do is seek him with all my might, all my spirit, and he will open the door for me. He will give me the answers that I seek for. I'm going to give it back over to you, Brother Yearwood. Thank you for letting me on the broadcast tonight.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate you and glad you come on there. We enjoyed the word. So we'll let Tim sing another song here. Praise the Lord. Then we'll get some prayer requests told here in a minute. Praise the Lord. We've got a bunch of them. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'm excited, Brother. Yes, I'm excited. I knew tonight, I said, it's going to be a good broadcast. I'm excited because we need to take things by force. We need to let the Lord lead us and take the things that the enemy has taken away from us and say, devil, you won't keep them. You won't have them. Our children, our homes, our finances, we're taking it back by force. In the name of Jesus, we're taking everything back.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I tell you what, we got to stand solid and stand flat-footed and look Satan eye to eye and tell him, say, Satan, you're going to have to back off, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he
that's
said
right,
that I
Lord.
Have power to cast you down. And
yes,
if he give us power to cast him down, give us power to walk on him, then we need to take that authority and walk on the devil.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
While on this road is straight and narrow, but it leads to a better home. It was made by Christ one day at Calvary, why suffered all alone. Now this road may lead over many high mountains and valleys, dark and low. But I walk, we say, with sweet assurance, and I'll safely reach my goal. Ahead, there is joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul. Ahead, there is peace and
everybody will be happy and whole. You know that I'll be at home with Jesus, where tears will never be shed. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead. While on this road I get so weary, and often my feet will stray, but His gentle hand still leads me onward and helps me to find my way. As I climb each hill and cross each valley by sin, I'm daily led. And I won't look back, I'm gonna keep right on the walking, cause I know what lies ahead. Ahead, there is joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul. Ahead, there is peace and contentment, everybody will be happy and whole. You know that
I'll be
at home with Jesus, where tears will never be shed. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In the temple of Jehovah, there was a veil that stood with God and man. That's when the Savior gave His last blood, the veil was opened up that I could enter in. Well, any time I'm low in spirit, I can step right up into the throne on high. When I ring those prayer bells, I'll sweet deliverance. Any time, night or day, when the skies are dark and gray, I'll not walk in the shadows, for He leads me through the valley. When I pray, any time. It was a sad day there on Calvary. The earth did quake, the sun refused to shine, but by His ransom, oh, hallelujah, He opened up a way that heaven could be mine. Well, any time I'm low in spirit, I can step right up into the throne on high. When I ring those prayer bells, I'll sweet deliverance. Any time, night or day, when the skies are dark and gray, I'll not walk in the shadows, for He leads me through the valley. When I pray any time, no, I'll not walk in the shadow, for He leads me through the valley. When I pray any time.
Praise the Lord. We're going to go to a prayer request right now. We have a lot of people that's in need of prayer tonight. We got Sister Debbie Samples, just like was said before. She's in Macon Hospital, so let's remember her. She's in need of a miracle. And Troy Watson, he's still in the hospital. We went to see him last night, and he still has infection in his body, but he is doing better this morning. They took the catheter out of him, so he was really happy about that. So let's just remember him tonight. Remember Fred Brannon. He needs strength and prayer. The Kevin Miller family has several needs. Clint Hampton needs salvation, and he also needs healing in his body. Randy Richardson, I think, is doing some better, so we give God praise for that. Pastor Rick Harris is doing some better, and he said keep praying for him. And his brother Bob Harris needs a healing. And Jim Parker has bone cancer, and the doctors say they can't do nothing else for him, but we know that God can. And we just ask everyone to remember him. And my niece Brenda Moses will be getting a kidney transplant soon, so remember her. And let's remember Sister Sandra Combs that had a stroke some time back. She still needs healing in her body. Ann Garman has cancer and needs a miracle. Keith Green has cancer and he's needing a miracle. Eddie Bolton is in bad shape tonight and he needs a miracle. He had therapy on his back and it made it worse. So let's remember him tonight. We miss him being on here with us. Larry Corden is in need of prayer tonight. Rufus Bivens is going to Vanderbilt Hospital for a muscle biopsy. They think it might be motor
neutron.
She said, keep praying for us that that's what gets us through. The old devil is not going to win. And then Samara Ward needs God to move for her. She has a lot of problems with her bowels. And Sister Debbie Eggenberg has cancer all through her body. She needs God to move for her. Brother John's grandson that has two types of cancer needs a miracle. And he also has another grandson that has a rare disease. Remember both of these boys, they're not all that old. And Pastor Fritz and Pastor Clayton Brown is in need of a miracle. Both of them has Alzheimer's, so just remember that family. My sister Dolores Rogers needs prayer. She, I talked with her on Sunday, and she said that she's hurting in the spot that she had her breast removed about a year and a half ago. And she went back to the doctor. I haven't heard nothing else, but she's hurting real bad there. So remember her tonight. And let's remember all the people that are getting their land taken away by the federal government. And let's remember all the people that are listening, that God will meet their needs, and all of our families that need to be saved. Turn it back over to Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray for all these needs right now. Then I'll obey the Lord there for God's help. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we bring all these prayer requests to you. Father, you've heard them, Lord. You know each and every one of them. God, we're just standing in the gap tonight, Father. I'm making up the hedge, Father, for them. Lord, that you reach down, God. Lord, that you touch every request, God, everyone that will turn in. And Father, Lord, we ask you, God, that you'll meet each and every one of them. And Lord God, the one that's lost and on their way to a devil's hell, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will save their soul, God, that you will sanctify them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, and God, set them on a solid rock, God, that they will stand. Father, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, God. And Lord, we just ask you, God, that you will touch the remainder of this broadcast. Lord God, we praise you for everything that you've done and said, everything that you've done on this broadcast. And Father, we just ask you, God, just touch the remainder of it. Lord, that you will bless, God, and stir the hearts of people, Father. Lord, and our listeners out there, God, we just ask you, God, that you will touch every one of them, Father. Lord, that you will touch them. Lord, that you will meet their needs, God, regardless of what their need is. We know that you have power, Lord, in heaven and earth, and we know all you've got to do is just speak the word, and it'll be done. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to start tonight in, Rachel was done read it, but anyway, we're going to read it again. Don't hurt. I'm going to let Betty do my reading tonight, but in Matthew 11th chapter and starting in verse 12.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we look around us and we can see, you know, the how many people today that was once that was walking up rightly before God. And, you know, the devil has come in and stole the joy of their salvation, stole it right out.
Amen.
But, you know, that's where the children of God are going out to stand. That's where we're going to have to take authority and put our feet down solid on the rock that the Lord has put us on and tell the devil that he can't have them. You know, praise God, the devil is out to do one thing, and that is to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that we can look into the kingdom of God and we can take authority over the devil. As some of us done said here tonight, we've got power tonight to tread upon the serpent. We've got power tonight to put the devil in his place. And all we need to do is just stand on the word. You know, the word said, do all that you know to do, then just stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. That's what we need to do, praise God. You know, hallelujah, the people are still still suffering. You know, hallelujah, there in verse 12, in verse chapter 11, it says, and from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent taketh it by force. You know, we need to take something back. God is telling us to take back it. Praise God. We need to take back everything. As I believe Sister Gladys said there a while ago, everything that the devil has stole from us. I tell you what, the devil is stealing, my friend. He's stealing people's joy. He's stealing their salvation. But they need to realize one thing. David, he said, Lord, just restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's all we need to do when the joy starts trying to leave. We need to just stop and look up towards the kingdom of God and start just giving God the praise and start giving him the glory and just start lifting his name up. Then that you'll feel Satan take his flight. He may not stay gone long, but he will have to take his flight. He'll give us enough of strength to fight him off because we just trust the Lord. This is taken by force. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful tonight that we can take something. God has given us the power to take something by force. Hallelujah. Praise God. And let me read some more.
John 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they had gone, would come to take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone.
Praise God.
Acts 23:10-35. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force, for among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, just stop there and just look here just for a minute. Praise God. In verse 10 there, it said, when they arose, a great dissension, the king, the chief captain, fearing, praise God, I can't even read this tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanding the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. You know, praise God. You know, I'm so thankful that the Lord, here in the next verse, he spoke a word. He told them right here, he said, and the night followed, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You know, praise God, the Lord is telling Paul here, you've done testified of me, and you know, praise God, Paul told him what the Lord would do, and he told him there, praise God, let's go a little bit further before I get ahead of myself here, praise God.
And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, and we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, they had done made a vow. In other words, they had done sworn that they wasn't going to eat nothing, they wasn't going to drink nothing until they took Paul by force. They was going to take him, they was going to kill him. But praise God, I'm so thankful that the Lord stood beside of him. And you know, tonight, my friend, whenever the devil comes at you and tries to make you think that you're going to have a tough luck and a tough way to go, I just remember the Lord, he'll stand beside of you. I'm so thankful that he said, I'm going to get just a little bit ahead of myself right here. He's told him there, he said, the Lord will fight this battle for me. And I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, the Lord will fight your battle. The battle that you fight is not your own. All you've got to do is just turn it over to the Lord. And whenever you turn it all over to God, he can win the battle for you. He will take authority over Satan. He's done beat him. He done defeated him over 2,000 years ago whenever he was crucified. I can imagine old Satan thinking then, I've got him. I've got him just right where I want him. They're going to put him in a tomb, and I've got the control of everything. But praise God, he told him, he said, in 3 days I will rise. And that third day, I believe last week I mentioned something about it, or maybe Friday night I mentioned something about it on Brother and Sister Green's broadcast. Praise God, he went and he took authority over the devil. He took the keys away from Satan. He took the keys of death and hell over Satan and put the Satan down. My friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. It don't matter what kind of a battle that you're going through. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter if you do feel like the army is pulling you apart. But praise God, the devil cannot do nothing to you until he gets permission from God. He had to get permission from God to even come and tempt Job. I tell you what, tonight, my friend, Job, I thank God a lot of times. I thank God has to give the devil permission to tempt us, to whip us or to beat up on us. He can't do nothing to us if we don't let him. The devil come up with of the children there to worship God there. And he said to him, God said, Satan, where have thou been? He said, going through and fro, through the earth, seeking who may devour. And praise God. I tell you what, God asked him a question then. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And praise God. He said, yeah, but haven't thou built a hedge around him? I can't get to him, in other words. I can't do nothing to him. But God told him, said, you can do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. His life belongs to me. I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, the devil may hit you broad-sided, but praise God, realize the Savior of this world, he's the one that's going to fight our battles. He's the one that's going to win for us. All we've got to do is just realize that he is standing beside of us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never forget you. I'll tell you what, we got the greatest promise ever happened. The greatest promise that ever was. That Jesus said, I am with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never forget you. And that's what he's telling Paul right here. He said, Paul, I'll stand beside of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you what, tonight, my friend, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen. I tell you what, we know that we know. If we've been born again and got our name written on the Lamb's Book of Life and got our sins earned the blood, all we've got to do is just look up because he's going to come back one day. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to come back and get each one of us. I tell you what, whether we go in the rapture or whether we go by graveside, I'm so thankful that I know that I know that I've got an elder brother that's a fighting my battle. He's not going to let Satan get me because I'm going to hold on to his hand. I'm going to stick close to him. And he told me that he'd stick closer to me than a brother. Hallelujah. As long as I've got him on my side, who can be against me? As long as he's talking to me and talking for me, who can defeat me? Praise God, I'm so thankful tonight to know that this is taken by force. I'm so thankful tonight to know, praise God, that we have the force of the power of the Holy Ghost overshadowing us. And he will fight our battles. He will conquer the devil for us if we'll just only look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. As long as we hold on to him, we can never go wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts 23:12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, and we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, with the council, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, and as though ye would inquire something about something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near and already and ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told him. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that that hast thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, and they will neither eat nor drink until they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto the two, and he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70 and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on, and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner: Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting.
Praise the Lord. You know, that sounds to me like the Lord was working on Paul's behalf, or he sent that young man in there to tell the judge, in other words, what was going to happen. And that judge, you know, praise God, the governor of that place, he sent after Paul to bring him in there safely. And I tell you what, today, my friend, the devil will try his best to destroy you. He'll try his best to tear you down. But if God be for you, who can be against you? I tell you, I'm so thankful tonight that he was for Paul. And, you know, that lets me know if he took care of Paul like that, my friend, he's going to take care of you and I. All we've got to do is just stand up and take it by force. Take the devil by force. You know, I think I told it here last week. You don't take a hickory stick and whip the devil. That's what I thought I would do one time, and I messed up. But if you'll take the word of God, you take this word, this whole King James Version, and you give that to the devil, you will defeat your battle, because he don't have no power. He can't do a thing with you if you give him the word of God. The word is what will defeat him. The word is what will destroy him. The word will put him in his place, that will bind him up and cast him from you. I tell you what, we need today to bind up the devil and cast him off from us. Hallelujah. God's children has the power and has the authority to put Satan in this place. But we must first be obedient to what the word says, and take the word for what he says. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll let Betty read some more. Praise
Verse
God.
Verse 27, this man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause, therefore, they accused him and brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway for thee, and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that's something right there. He wanted to know what did they have against him. You know, praise God, I just don't believe today that the devil can defeat us if we'll just stand on the promises of God's word and take him for what he says. I tell you, I appreciate God tonight. I appreciate him because I know that he said that he would fight our battles. And I know that we have to take a lot of things by force, and it's time that God's children, we look around us, we see the things that's going on now around us. It's time that we take authority. It's time that we stand on the word of God and stand firm and preach the word, tell the world what thus saith God. Speak this word and praise God. I've said a lot of times, if it's our lips, every devil in hell, we've got to stand and preach what thus saith God. That's what the Lord told Paul over there. We read it there a while ago. He told Paul, said, you've told them in Jerusalem this testimony, and now you've got to tell them the same testimony, the same words again to you in Rome. My friend, it's time that we take this word and stand on this word and tell them what this word says. I tell you, if we'll stand on this word and we'll preach this word and give the testimony, Jesus said, these works that I do, you shall even do greater than these because I've gone unto the Father. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that he's up there on the right hand side of the Father. He's making intercession for you and I. If we've been washed in the blood and got all of our sins under the blood, we've got the greatest a warrior that could ever be, the greatest man that could ever be, the only one, hallelujah, that never committed any sin, even though he become sin because of you and I, and he hung on the cross because for us, that he could give us a life. I tell you, I'm so thankful tonight to know, praise God, that he went into the bottom pits of hell and he took the keys from the devil. Hallelujah. He took it from the devil. He took it by force. I'm sure the devil didn't just hand them over to him, but he went in there and he told him. He said, give me the keys. Praise God, I'm telling you tonight, we don't have no worries. I was telling Brother Green and them, I believe this weekend, praise God, you know, we don't have to worry about death because I believe the Lord done took the stain of death away from us. I don't even believe that whenever it comes our time, I don't believe we'll even feel anything. I believe we'll just go to sleep in the Lord and go on. Hallelujah, that's the prayer that I've prayed. God, don't let me do no suffering, but just take me on. And I tell you what, I believe God's going to hear. I believe he's going to answer. I believe he's going to take care of us whenever we asked him to. He said that he heard our prayers whenever we cry out to him. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that we have a God that we can look to. Praise God, and I'm glad that we got an elder brother, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He's sitting on the right hand side of the Father, as I said a while ago, making intercession for us. I tell you what, whenever we cry out to him, he hears us and he looks back, I believe, at his Father, and he says, Father, this is one of my little ones. We've got to do something for him. We've got to take care of her. We've got to lift him up. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said that he prayed for us. He prayed that he didn't pray that we'd be taken out of the world, but he prayed that we would be taken care of while we're in this world. Praise God. I'm so thankful tonight to know beyond every shadow of a doubt that we are taken care of because God is taking care of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Read some more. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Verse 31. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded, took commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of the Cilicia, "I will hear thee," said he, "when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall.
Praise the Lord. I've got about two or three more verses here I'm going to read, and we'll have about 8 or 9 minutes left there, Brother Green, so you can obey the Lord. We're going to read Hebrews 9 and 17. It says, "For a testimony
For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood."
Praise the Lord.
"For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission."
Amen. Praise the Lord. You've heard the reading there of Hebrews 9, 17 through 22. So just wanted to throw that in there. So, Brother Green, we got about 8 minutes. So go ahead and obey the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Yearwood. You know, we've covered a lot of this tonight, and I tell you, I started out there with the Kingdom of Heaven suffering violence, and I think Joanna talked about the man in David's army. He clave to the sword, and different ones have said different things about it, but you know, it's true that we have to put our feet down. We have to stand on the solid rock. We have to take the Word of God, which, you know, is a sharp and two-edged sword. And I'll tell you, it'll cut the devil and put him in his place. And we have to look the devil in the eye and not back up. If we're going to gain ground, we've got to go forward. We can't back up. We can't let up or... we can't grow weary in well-doing. We've got to keep our hand on the gospel plow. And I tell you, we've got to plow the fields till Jesus comes.
Amen.
And we've got to hold on to that gospel plow, because I tell you, the devil is trying to get you loose from that gospel plow. And if you're a minister out there tonight, and a servant, a handmaiden of God, or you belong to a church, well, it's your responsibility tonight to... try to win somebody to Jesus, because it's closing. I'll tell you, the day's coming when the sun's going down, praise God. And I had a dream one time of a man sitting under a tree and sitting upon a hill. And he was sitting under a tree, and he had a hat on, and he had his head down. And the sun was going down behind him. And I tell you, I believe that might have been representing the church as a whole. You know, we started out here tonight with the Kingdom of Heaven and how John the Baptist preached repentance. And that's what it is tonight. If we don't repent, if we don't get our heart right with God, we're going to be on the outside looking in. And when the trump of God sounds, there's going to be many that are going to be left behind, because he said the kingdom of heaven was like a net that they cast into the sea, and they brought up of every kind. And there at the end, when they began to separate it, they separated the good, and they kept the good, but they threw the bad away. And I tell you, there's going to be a separation one day, and I'll tell you, we better
Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. We better contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints of God. We can't preach a gospel that compromises with sin. We've got to preach what the Bible says. We've got to preach, you know, that the only way to heaven is through the door of salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only door to that sheepfold. And if you're going to make it in, you've got to come through the door. And, you know,
Amen.
That's where we start with God, and then we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then we begin to see these things in the Scriptures, how that we must contend for the faith and how we must fight the good fight of faith. And I was thinking, you know, today, just a little while ago, I was thinking about how through faith they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness. Praise God. Let me see if I can find it here. I want to read it in the 11th chapter. I don't know if anybody's preached on that tonight, because I was kind of up and down. But it said through faith, talking about Moses, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I want you to know tonight, let's stay in the house. Let's not get out from under the blood, because the house is God's house. And if you get in that house, you need to stay in that house. And don't you get out, because it didn't make any difference if they was a Gentile, if they was in the house, or if they was a Jew at that time. Because if they were in the house and the blood was over it, they would be all right. Praise God. It said by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, dry land, which Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. See, they didn't have the blood on them, but we got the blood applied to our life tonight. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They fell because they obeyed God, and they did what God told them to do. And that's what will happen in our situation. If we will do what God told us to do, that's a good stand against the devil. That's the thing we need to be, is obedient unto God. Obedience is one of the things that will keep us overcoming all the time. And faith and patience. You know, we think about Job, how he was patient. He held on to God in the face of adversity. And when things was going wrong, he still held on to God. Praise the Lord. And it says here, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So I say tonight, let's keep the faith. Let's not draw back unto perdition, but let us hold on, and let us keep serving God. And he said here in verse 32 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight. You know, we can wax valiant in this fight of faith tonight.
Amen.
And it depends on me and you. It depends on the church. Do they want to... what do they want to be? Do they want to be a glorious church, an overcoming church? Or do they want to take a back seat to the devil? I'll tell you tonight, don't you take no back seat. Because if you do, you're going to lose out in the end. Because one day, there coming a separation, and we want to make it. We want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We don't want to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And the Bible said that they waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight, the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Praise God. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Praise God. You know, the world tonight is not worthy, but I'll tell you something, Jesus died for you. If you're not saved tonight, you need to turn your life back to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. And if you're a backslider, come back to the throne of grace. I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Green. We got just a few seconds left there. So I want everybody to remember Brother John and Sister Deb until she comes home. I believe God's going to raise her up and bring her home. And also remember Brother Eddie Bolton. So God bless everybody, and we'll talk to you there Tuesday again. And next Friday night, Brother and Sister Green will be on Blog Talk Radio. So God bless everybody, and bye-bye.
God bless
y'all. God bless everybody.